I appreciate all the youth being here. That's a wonderful thing that the church does, and encouraging the youth and all ages. I think it's we all need to be here. We all need to hear the gospel and the truth. And I'm pretty young myself, so hopefully you'll look over the fact that you're having to hear a gospel message, and that's a wonderful thing to be able to come and to hear the gospel preached. And I know a lot of times growing up, seemed like when I was carried to church all the time, it didn't always seem fun. But as you get saved and as you begin to grow in the Lord, coming to church becomes pretty fun. It's a good time in the Lord, and it's what we need in order to be able to grow in the Lord. And I appreciate so much each and every one coming out tonight, and I do ask an interest in your prayers that the Lord would just lead and direct in this service tonight. And I hope and pray you've already been praying. I believe that you have. Just ask for you to continue to do so. And just ask everyone, just mind the Lord tonight. This is the Lord's service. We're here to follow Him and to allow Him to lead and direct as He would see fit. And with that being said, I wonder if there's anything else on your heart before we go into the message tonight. Anything at all on your heart? If not, if you'd like to follow along, I want to begin reading in Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. Jeremiah chapter 17, and I want to begin reading in the 5th verse. Jeremiah chapter 17, beginning in the 5th verse. It says, "Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man, maketh flesh his arm, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. For he shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." That was reading Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, verses 5 through 8 for our reading lesson tonight. And the thought that's on our heart tonight is dormant or blooming? Dormant or blooming? And we learn early on in school about winter and about how the seasons change. And you know, we're getting ready to go into fall, and the leaves are getting ready to turn colors. And it's a wonderful time of year to see how beautiful God's creation is and the things that take place. And then shortly after fall becomes winter. And winter, all the leaves fall off of the trees. And you know, it really looks like everything's dead. Everything is just dead as it can be. A lot of the flowers even that were growing, they wither away, and it looks like they're all dead. But really and truly, the fact of the matter is, all of those plants that continue to come back every year, and trees as their blooms come out year after year, they're really just sleeping for just a little while. They're just taking a long winter's nap, basically, is what they're doing. And that's the way that God has designed things to be. And I believe that He wants us to look at that in a way that we can understand it so that it'll help us. And I would ask you tonight, do you feel like that you are alive in the Lord? Or are you just dormant? Are you blossoming and blooming and carrying fruits that God would have you to? Or are you just existing? You see, there's a difference in being saved and really doing something with it than just existing as a saved individual and just being there like a lot of those dead trees it looks like they are in winter. You know, I believe that all the seasons have their own beauty because God, His handiwork is shown throughout all seasons, and it shows the glory and the majesty of the Lord. But there's just something special about those blooms as they first begin to bud in the beginning of springtime, how that those trees that seem so dead are brought to life. And that only way that that is possible is through and by God. He's the only one that had a smart enough, intelligent mind to create something so majestic and wonderful that He would think to be able to give us the seasons and how they change and how they move. But first and foremost, I want you to know that if you are lost and separated from God, you are dead in trespasses and in sins. A dead meaning separated from God. And you're a dead tree. The Bible talks a lot about living trees and dead trees. He tells us in Ecclesiastes that a tree, when it falls, it's either going to fall towards the north or towards the south. And that means in the place that you go, that's where your eternal state will be throughout all eternity once you leave the walks of this life. But while we're here, God expects of us to be living and to be alive. And doesn't it mean to be alive once you've been saved by God's grace? There's something being alive about that. I don't mean you're working up something that's some kind of conjured up thing that a lot of the world says, and a lot of it is emotionalism. I'm talking about something that's spiritual that you can feel on the inside. That's deeper than emotion. Sometimes it affects our emotions. But once you get saved by God's grace, there's no more alive feeling than being saved. That is it. That is the climax of what your life will entail. Is the most important part is when you get saved by God's grace. And that's the key ingredient in order to even be able to bloom for the Lord and to blossom for the Lord. You first and foremost have got to be saved. Now what is the Scripture saying there? Thus saith the Lord, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm. If you're trusting in something that you can do to get you to heaven, it's not going to cut it. You've got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. And you've got to believe in the Lord Jesus with everything that you've got. And if you don't, you'll be cursed because of that. You'll spend an eternity burning in hell if you don't trust in the Lord with all of your heart. It says, cursed be the man that trusteth in man and maketh flesh his arm, or who depends upon man, and whose heart departeth from the Lord. If you're separated from God and been departed from God, God is the one that lets you know that. Once you're lost and separated from God, there's a separation there. That's why we call it, the Bible calls it dead, in trespasses and in sins. That's what death is. It means to be separated. And what happens is a person realizes that they are separated from God, and I believe, at least from my experience, that's the worst feeling in the world. There's nothing worse feeling than knowing that you are separated from an almighty God who created you, who loves you, who desires to be with you to save you and to just allow you to worship Him and live for Him throughout all eternity. There's nothing better than being saved, and I don't believe there's anything worse than being lost. But once you finally realize that you are separated from God, you need to do something about it. You need to seek the Lord with all your heart. It says here, for He shall be like the heath in the desert, and shall not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched places in the wilderness, in a salt land not inhabited. Doesn't sound like a very pleasant place to me. The Bible says, and Jesus said, that He wanted us to have not just life, and I believe He meant life everlasting, but He wanted us to have a more abundant life. To live in a place where we can be able to blossom for the Lord. To be able to bud for the Lord. That someone can be affected by our fruits that we were to bear. Now I don't feel like I'm the prettiest tree that you've ever seen. And probably am not. But when I bear fruits for my Lord, it is a beauty to Him and it honors Him. And that's exactly why I'm here, is to honor Him and to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And that's why we have all been placed here, is to be able to worship and honor the Lord and our King. It says here, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. If anybody were to ever be saved, they're going to have to trust in the Lord with all their heart. Not lean on their own understanding, but trust in Him. It says that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is, for he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when the heat cometh, but her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit. The Lord wants us to be, as the old song says, like a tree planted by the waters. I shall not be moved. He wants us to be sure and steady and steadfast. And once you're saved, you are founded upon the most firm foundation that there ever is and ever will be. That foundation is none other than Jesus Christ. He is the rock in which I stand on even tonight. And the foundation that you must build your life on, if your foundation is on anything else, you're not going to make it there. But if you build on the foundation of Jesus, then you'll be able to sustain in this life and to be like that tree that's planted by the waters that won't be moved, and that even when heat comes and when the rains descend and the floods come and all the rough waters all around you in this world, because there's going to be rough times in this world. That's just the fact of the matter. The Bible lets us know, and we know from our experiences, a man that is born of a woman is few days and full of trouble. That's just life. We just experience trouble. Jesus said, in the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I've already overcome the world. We're going to have trouble. But when we're founded upon the rock of Jesus Christ, and when we have the living waters of the Holy Spirit of God and the good Word of God to sustain us, there's no amount of wind that's going to uproot my soul, because it's founded upon Jesus Christ. And there is no one that can take away the Spirit that dwells inside of you, because once you got it, He's the one that holds it. It doesn't get taken away. He's the one that's going to keep it until that day that He's committed. I'm thankful that He's going to do that one of these days after a while. If you would, turn with me to John, the 15th chapter. Just continue to pray for me tonight. I want the Lord to be lifted high up above the heavens. John, the 15th chapter, a very familiar reading lesson again. I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now are ye clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can ye, except ye abide in me. Jesus is the one doing the speaking here. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. I told you, if you don't get saved by God's grace, if you don't have an experience of salvation where you know that you have passed from death into life, and that living water is flooding inside of your soul, then you're not going to be able to make it, and you're going to be just like a withered up branch that men gather, and they gather up and they cast them into the fire. That's what happens at the end of time. There's going to be a great day that comes, and Jesus is going to send forth the reapers, and He's going to gather His wheat, which are example of those that have been saved, and gather them into His barn. But the chaff, those who've grown up with us, who've been right with us, some may be children, some may be mothers, some will be fathers, some will be loved ones that have been all around us and grown with us, look like us, talk like us, walk like us. When that great day comes, He's going to sever those on His right hand and those on His left hand. He's going to say to ones that have been saved, come on in, children, unto the things that I have prepared for you. Since the foundation, from before the foundation of the world, and those that are lost and separated from God, He's going to gather up those sticks, basically, is the example that the Scripture uses. Those that are dried up, that don't have the living waters flowing inside of them, that know that they have been saved by God's grace, know that they have believed and trusted in the Lord, with all of their heart have an experience of salvation, He's going to gather them up. It doesn't matter if they're our friends and loved ones. It doesn't matter if they're our children. It doesn't matter if they're our parents or our loved ones. He's going to gather them up, and He's going to cast them into an awful place called hell, and they'll never get out of that place. That's where they'll be throughout all eternity. And I'm thankful that not one hair of my head will go into that place. I know in whom I have believed. I've trusted in the Lord with all of my heart. It's not anything of myself. and it's going to be the same way for you if you're to ever be saved by God's grace. You've got to trust in the Lord, just like this original text that we read. Cursed is the man that trusteth in man. That means even trusting in yourself, in your own merit, in your own works, in your own things that you do. But oh, if we trust in the Lord and just to rely upon Him, for some reason it seems like after we get saved, we think we can do things on our own. We've got that behind us and we can just take on the world and just grab it by the horns and just do whatever we want and we need. And I think that's a lot of times how we're raised, especially as men. We're expected to be the strongest and the mightiest, and yet we don't forget about trusting in the Lord. You know, I haven't made it anywhere without trusting in the Lord. I've tried to do a lot of things, it seems like, on my own, and they'll just fall. I'll fall flat on my face. But when I've trusted in the Lord, and when I've leaned on His understanding and I've acknowledged Him for my path, He's directed them and guided me, and He's carried me because I'm made stronger when I'm weak, when I'm trusting in Him. And it shows His strength. It shows His power and His might. You see, the fact of the matter is we are helpless without the Lord. I mean, every one of us that's here. If we didn't have the Lord, we couldn't even stand up and get out of bed in the morning. We couldn't even breathe the next breath. We couldn't say a word. But with God, all things are possible. That's why you can be saved by God's grace. But you've got to trust in the Lord and you've got to believe in Him. And so that you can have a life that is blossoming and blooming in a way that it pleases the Lord and honors the Lord. We don't need to just be a tree that's just existing, that looks dead to the rest of the world. You know, we should be the most lively people that there are on the face of the earth. We really should be. But it seems like we're the most dormant. I mean, we just sit around a lot of times. But I've been saved by God's grace. Just like Job said, I've been redeemed. I know that my Redeemer liveth and that I will see Him one of these days. That's something to be alive about. We've been saved. We've been redeemed by the blood of the precious Lamb of our Savior Jesus Christ. That's something to shout about. That's something to glorify God about. No matter how much this world throws at us, no matter what troubles we go through, if we have been saved, we've got it all anyways. He's provided so much for us. It says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Lord wants us to blossom for Him, to bear fruit for Him. First of all, you better get saved, because you can't bear any fruit unless you've been saved by God's grace. And after you get saved, the next step is you need to join the Lord's church and be baptized. That's an initial step after telling the world what God has done for you. That's putting your light on a candlestick and telling the world. That's bearing fruit. That's the next step that God is asking of you to do. And then we've got to build upon that. We need to continue. There's too many of God's people that get saved and they stay on the milk for their entire life. We need to get on up to some strong meat from time to time. And the only way we're really going to do that is if we pick up the Word and spend some time with it on our own. You're not going to get all the strong meat that you need every time you come into the house of the Lord. I think you ought to get some meat and some milk and get exactly what you need if it's coming from the Lord. But some of the best meals I've had, it's just spending some time reading and studying and praying in God's Word. And He'll feed you with just what you need if you'll trust in Him, if you'll rely upon Him. That's what Jesus is saying about being the vine and us being the branches. If you get saved by God's grace, we're hooked in there. I mean, we're hooked right up to the Lord Jesus. And there is a spiritual bond there that He's let us know that we're saved. And we flow through Him and by Him. It's a wonderful fellowship and a relationship there. And it connects us all the way up to the Father in heaven above. And I don't know how that it all works, but I know it does, because I can feel Him. I know when He speaks to me and He guides me and directs me and He loves me. because I can feel it. I know that He's there. If you don't have that relationship, that direct line through Jesus Christ, because He is the mediator between man and God, then you don't have anything. But oh, once you get saved, we can be hooked up to the vine and we can grow in the Lord. We can prosper in the Lord. I'm not saying necessarily about worldly things and worldly possessions, but we can grow spiritually and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We need to grow in grace and in wisdom. We need to grow in the Lord and be nourished by the Lord. If we don't grow, then we're just existing. We're just staying at a status quo, staying right at the very basic of being saved. And it's wonderful to be saved. There's nothing like being saved. But oh, that we could grow in the Lord. That God's people would just feel the need. I just want to hunger for the Lord. You know, that's why Jesus said there in the Sermon on the Mount, He said, "Blessed are they, happy are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, because they're the ones that are going to be filled." If you want to please the Lord, which I believe everyone that's here tonight really wants to please Him, or else they wouldn't be here, then hunger for Him. Get a desire for Him to show you His Word and to allow Him to fill His presence, allow you to feel His presence. Jesus wants us to be blooming so that it'll show His handiwork. For His workmanship is what Ephesians says. Ephesians 2, just after he talks about us being saved by grace through faith, says we are His workmanship. That means we're His handiwork. You know, He looked at Adam after He had created Adam and He said, it's very good. And He saved a person. I believe He looked down upon my unworthy soul and yours too. And He said, it's very good. What I've done, I have saved them and I have made them one of my own. I have created them in my own image, in the likeness of my Son and in me and in the Holy Spirit. I have made them like me. And He's the most beautiful being that there ever was and ever will be. The being who thought it up to say that man would fall and I'll make a way for him to have fellowship with me, even though he's dirt. You ever thought about that? Singing about it the other day. Driving up down the road, we're just dirt. We're made from the dust of the ground. And yet God loves us so much that He would send His Son to die for us so that we, somebody like me, could have fellowship with Him. What an awesome God we serve. What a loving God. Abide in me. If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will and it shall be done unto you. I don't think we take advantage of that like we should. Prayer, as Brother Buddy said, does work. It works and it's effective. The Bible talks all about prayer and how important that it is. In the Scriptures it says, pray without ceasing. There is so much to be heard of and to be accomplished with prayer, and yet we don't take advantage of it most of the time because we're not where we need to be. And I'll be the first to admit I'm not where I want to be, but you know how I'm going to try to get there? Through praying and talking to the Lord and getting my life hooked up with trusting in Jesus and depending upon Him so that I can be the vine that's bearing all these fruits that are out in this world that are telling the world about Jesus. So you know what can happen? Just like we as the Gentiles were, that were the wild branches, we could be grafted in and we can all join in worshiping and adoring the Lord, and that way they don't have to be gathered at the end of time and cast off into that outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. But we can blossom and bloom for the Lord. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. You know, that's such an important part of our relationship with the Lord and with others, is loving the Lord. It's crucial. Without the love of without the love of God, we'd all be doomed. We'd all be doomed for hell. But thanks be the love of God that He loved us enough to send Jesus to die for our sins. That love doesn't stop at salvation. It begins at salvation. It's the initiating force that drove us to want salvation. Have you ever thought about that? The reason that you really, at least the reason I wanted to be saved, was because I honestly loved God more than myself. More than this world, more than anything. I wanted Him more than anything. And we lose that along the way. And He just wants us to gain it back so that we can love Him like He deserves to be loved. And if we existed just to exist, just to get saved and then to live our life in a worldly manner, we're just going to be dormant for the rest of our days. And it doesn't really bring any beauty and honor to the Lord like it should. But oh, if we love the Lord, I mean, we'll do something about it. I wrote this down as I was praying in my study, and I thought, well, that won't go along with the message, but it came to me in my prayer, in my study, serving God and others. And this is, I'm sure many of you, just common sense to you, but it meant a lot to me. Serving God and others out of a want to and not a have to is love. Serving God because you want to, and serving others because you want to, out of a desire to want to, not just because we have to, that's love. And we forget that along the way. At least for me, a lot of times I've just done things just because, well, I was taught that that was the right thing to do. And that's what my parents did, and that's what the right thing to do is, and well, that's just what we do. The time is for us as saved people is to do things for the Lord because we want to. And I believe many of you all that are here have been. But God wants us to continue in that love. It says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. God doesn't want us to just be dormant. He wants us to be happy, to have an enjoyable life. Now, was Paul and Silas happy when they were thrown in prison and whipped and beaten? I don't know, but they started singing praises to the Lord about the midnight hour. They seemed pretty happy to me to be in the chains that they were in. You know, we could be in the darkest night of our lives and still be happy if we love the Lord. I don't understand all that, but I know I've experienced it from time to time when I felt the presence of the Lord come over me. And that's what we need, is to have that love flowing through us, and it comes from the Lord. We can't conjure it up. He is love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I have commanded you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you. Ye have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That means continue, and that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, He may give it you. These things I command you, that ye love one another. The Lord wants us to awake, to not just sleep through life. There's people that'll just sleep through life, it seems like. They just go through the motions, and if we're not careful, even us that are saved people, we'll just go through the motions. And we'll just exist, and we'll continue doing the things. We're creatures of habit. We are. We just continue doing this and this and this because it's easy to continue that. But sometimes the Lord says, step out of your comfort zone and do something a little different and do something a little off the wall sometimes and tell somebody, maybe it's a stranger, about what the Lord has done for you or help somebody along the way. I don't know what it is God was asking of you. I know what He asks of me. And He wants us to follow and trust Him. Romans in the 13th chapter in the 11th verse, it says, in that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light, and let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and in drunkenness, and not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, one reason why I'm afraid that a lot of saved people don't blossom to their full potential is because of the nutrients that they're getting. You know, there's a lot of trees that die from diseases of not enough water, not enough things to sustain them, or they get different types of diseases that will cause them to rot and to die. Well, if we are not careful as God's people, we that have been saved, we have to be cautious to not allow the sins of this world to come into our lives, and it causes us to rot, not to die in our sins. We've been saved, we're secured, but we're just existing. We are just like a dead tree that looks just completely dead. It doesn't do anybody any good or anyone anything. It just exists. So the important thing is to stay hooked up to Jesus in His Word, to listen as His Holy Spirit guides us and directs us, His Word being a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path, and that we can get the nutrients that you need. Growing up, my mama always told me, what you put in is what you're going to get out. And that's the truth. When you, what you have taken into your life and the things that you are involved in and that you do, those things, they come into your eyes and into your ears, the things you listen to, the things you watch, the things you take part in, they are what ends up coming out. That's why it's so important for us that are saved to take in the good things of God. That's why it's important for us to gather in and assemble together, to spend time one with another, to fellowship one with another, to spend quality time with our brothers and sisters in Christ, to spend time in God's Word and praying and surrendering to the Lord. We need the good nutrients that we can grow in the Lord and blossom in a manner that other people can see that there is a difference in us. People should be able to tell the difference in you and me, that we are saved by God's grace. But unfortunately, most of us just, at least from my experience, we just look like the rest of the world. Peer pressure is a difficult thing to deal with in school, but it's still real when we're older too. We want to fit in. We want to just do enough to where the Lord doesn't chastise us, but you know, we really don't want to go over the top on anything. And we might ask the Lord for this or that, but Lord, I can't do that. We just want to pick our battles and do what we want to do. Serving God is not about what we want. If we really love the Lord, it's what He wants. And finding out what God wants for your life is so important. Who God wants you to marry, where God wants you to live, the church God wants you to be at. I mean, there are some so important decisions that God deserves to make in your life and in mine. He deserves to make those things. And He paid for the right to make those decisions by sending Jesus to die on a cross. He purchased me. He purchased my decisions. He purchased my life. It's the least thing I can do is to let Him rule and guide me and direct me. Are you awake? Or are you just existing? The Lord wants us to do more than just be existing. He wants us to be awake. He wants us to grow in Him, to be nurtured in Him. God's Word can help us with that. God's people can help us with that. I've grown, I don't feel like I've grown that much, but I tell you who's helped me a lot is God's people. I've had some wonderful people that have set wonderful examples and have taught me and have helped me so much along the way. Even this church, you have helped me as a young man and all of you and others, and I so appreciate that, because that's our part, is to instill in our children and our grandchildren and future generations to come about being saved by God's grace, true heartfelt salvation, and then teaching them. What did Jesus say when He ascended back up into heaven? He said, "I go into all nations, teaching them whatsoever things I have commanded you." And I'm just going to mess it up. I usually can quote that one pretty easily, but I'm going to mess it up. Just turn to the end of Matthew. Says, "All power is given to me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." God wants us to continue in that. It's an honor to try and teach what things that have been instilled in me, the things that I find in God's Word. It's an honor for me to be able to share them with others and to continue in this doctrine in which we have been so blessed to be brought up in. 2 Peter in the first chapter, and the Lord may be through with me. Just pray for us. 2 Peter, the first chapter. Read a few verses of Scripture here. "Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as His divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity or love. For if these things be in you and abound in you, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." To me, that sounds like the initial scripture that we read in Jeremiah about the heath in the desert. That shrub that grows up in the desert that doesn't even know when good's coming, that just exists, that just continues there and just stays there, doesn't do anybody any good, just there, just staying in that one spot and not growing at all, just staying and existing. But if we can add to the faith that we have been saved in, if we can continue growing and learning about the Lord and staying close to the Lord, then we can be like a tree that's planted by the waters. We can be a light unto others in this world, that we can tell them about Jesus. And I hope and pray that one day after a while, I may not be here, that my children's grandchildren can come to this church and other churches like this, and they can hear the gospel preached about Jesus, that He is the only way of salvation, and that is what it's all about, is Him. But if we don't continue to teach, if we don't continue to grow, what's going to happen to these future generations? What's going to happen to the children that come along? Somebody's going to teach them something. We better make sure they have the truth. Thank the Lord for this church. I'm so thankful for you. Thank the Lord for my teaching, my family's teaching me the truth. for the churches that I was blessed to grow up in, to hear the sound of the gospel, to get saved, but not just get saved, to continue to trying to grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. I hope and pray tonight that you have a hunger and a desire to not just exist, don't just be dormant, but bloom for the Lord, blossom for the Lord. Don't just continue in life, but live life. The most enjoyable life you can live is a life serving the Lord. I promise you that. You can try to exist and have the world's pleasures, but the best life you're going to live is serving the Lord. If we can, let's have a song. If you're here tonight and you've not been saved, this might have been a message geared, it seemed like, a little more towards saved people, but if you're here tonight and you're lost and the Lord's dealing with you, I believe the Lord can convict people and deal with them any time He needs to. And if He's dealing with you tonight, the altar's open. I wish you'd come and pray, and we'll be glad to pray with you. Everyone just mind the Lord tonight.
Number 207.